The Senator from Connecticut.
Thank you, Mr. President. And let me begin by thanking my colleague from Michigan for his comments, and I intend to share some similar thoughts this evening. First of all, Mr. President, let me begin by stating my own views about this process here this evening, and note some have chosen to use the words anger. I rise more in sadness, Mr. President, that we're gathered here to engage in this, I don't know what it's properly called, I guess a filibuster. It's unique, I guess, the majority conducting a filibuster. Normally a filibuster, for those who are interested in how this works, is normally conducted usually by a minority within a minority. But we find ourselves this evening and maybe a few short days away from the end of this particular session with a tremendous amount of unfinished business to spend the next 30 hours or 26 hours, whatever's left, on this particular debate and discussion, which I suppose has some value in the minds of some as far as this member is concerned. I regret in some ways I'm even addressing the matters before us here this evening. The better approach might just have been to be here to protect the rights of the minority, but not to engage in this debate. Now, there are four votes that will occur on Friday, Mr. President. Three of them involve individuals who are seeking appointment to the federal judiciary. With all due respect to these particular nominees, putting aside one's views of whether they're for or against them, history will probably little note nor record for any great length of time who they were. That's not in any way to suggest that they're not worthy individuals. But in the passage of time, these nominations will not register terribly significantly in the history of the debate of this great chamber. Mr. President, I arrived here as an employee of the United States Senate about the age of 17 where I sat on these steps. Lyndon Johnson was the majority leader of the United States Senate. Everett Dirksen, Senator McClellan, were just a sea of giants that served in this body. I tried to imagine this evening whether or not they might proceed in a debate like we're having. I can't imagine it, Mr. President, quite candidly. I'm afraid we're diminishing dramatically the incredible historic role of this institution by this process. When I think of all the matters that deserve our attention, when I think of all the Herculean debates that have occurred in this chamber throughout the 217-year history of our country, some of the great debates deciding who we were as a society, I sat on the floor of that step over there and listened to the all-night debates of civil rights debates, the early 1960s. I listened to Southerners argue vehemently on behalf of their position regarding states' rights. They were incredible debates, Mr. President. Never once in all of that process that I watched as a child sitting out here did I ever hear anyone suggest that we ought to change the rules of the Senate. Even among those who were outraged that there were those who were arguing about denying a substantial minority of citizens of this country the right to participate freely in the democratic institutions of America. Never once did anyone suggest that we ought to somehow curtail the right of a minority in those days in the United States Senate insist upon its rights to be heard in debate, extended debate. Never once. And yet here we are tonight, over three or four judicial nominations. We'll be asked on Friday to cast a ballot about amending the rules of the United States Senate to fundamentally change what has been a central ingredient of why this institution has been as celebrated and honored throughout the 217-year history of this country. That I find rather appalling, that we would gather at this hour with all of the other issues in front of us. I spent 2 hours yesterday at Walter Reed Hospital. Took my two-year-old daughter out to visit with young men, many of whom are missing limbs. I saw several of my colleagues out there, by the way. Sam Brownback was out there. I wasn't home in my state, but I went out to spend just a quiet couple of hours to express to these young men my great admiration for what they have done for their country. I'd like to think that they might think something larger of this institution, that we would engage in a discussion and debate tonight about three or four judicial nominations. And other of my colleagues have made the point about the numbers that have been approved and not approved. I'm not going to debate. I'm not a member of the Judiciary Committee. I've heard my colleagues extol the virtues of these nominees. I've heard others excoriate them. I'll leave that debate for others. The vote that I'm most worried about, Mr. President, is the fourth vote that will occur on Friday. And that is whether or not we're going to change the nature of this institution, because some of us are disappointed about some outcomes over votes. And I would hope whatever else ensues or passes over these next 30 or 40 hours, that when it comes to that vote, that maybe there'll be those who will get up and defend this institution. It's inappropriate for me to do so, but I'll note the fact that there are those watching this debate this evening in this chamber who are of a younger generation. Here as students, I suspect, in some way to participate or witness what some have tried to describe as an historic event. I would hope they take note of the arguments and debate about what is important, why the founders created this institution, why we are not a unicameral body, as several state legislatures too are in the United States, why we are a bicameral body, why it is that there is down this corridor a House of Representatives at that end of the building and a United States Senate at this end. What are the fundamental distinctions between these two branches of one house? Why are we different? Why do we exist? What did the framers have in mind when they created this institution? It is this very debate that gives justice, if you will, gives rationale to the existence of the United States Senate. And you need only to go back to the Federalist Papers. And as I look around this chamber, there are the forebears of those who sit in these seats who made the most eloquent arguments on behalf of the notion and the idea of having extended debate and the right and power to amend. Those are the two central ingredients which make this institution, so unique. And when you begin to erode those very powers, then the very justification for this institution begins to diminish. And we end up creating nothing more, potentially, than a mirror image of the body that is at the other end of this hall. I gave some remarks going back a number of weeks ago in front of the Rules Committee. I am the ranking Democrat, Mr. President, of the Rules Committee. And as such, bear responsibility, along with my colleague from Mississippi, who is the chairman of the committee, to consider such matters. I have great respect for the majority leader. But I would hope, that we, as we discuss the idea of amending Rule 22, that we would keep in mind what the framers had in mind here when it came to nominations, particularly nominations of a life tenure. It's one thing to be talking about nominations during the duration of a given administration, but with judicial nominations, it is for life. However young that person may be and how long they can possibly serve, it can go for decades. And so the framers, given the experience they had come from with the tyranny of a king, they desired to create a system whereby the third co-equal branch of government would have powers delineated between the executive branch to appoint and the legislative branch to approve, to provide its advice and consent. If you destroy the ability of this institution to thoroughly exercise that right of advice and consent, then you run the risk of creating a judicial branch, a co-equal, that becomes nothing more than the hand servant of the executive. That's what the founders worried about. It's what Senator Rutledge of South Carolina argued for when he spoke eloquently about the importance of keeping an independent judiciary. In fact, for many, many weeks during the Constitutional Convention, they argued that the president ought to have no rights when it came to judicial nominations, that right ought to be exclusively contained in the Senate of the United States. But as a result of compromise, it was ultimately decided that the power to nominate those individuals should reside in the executive, and that the power to approve should remain here, thus guaranteeing, to the extent possible, an independent judiciary. What is being suggested by the fourth vote that will be asked to cast on Friday is that we undermine that very principle, which has survived for 217 years. And I would hope with a resounding vote of both Democrats and Republicans, whatever your strong feelings may be about these three nominees, or four, whatever the number is here, that we would not allow this institution to be diminished caught up in the passions of these nominations. History will not record nor remember who these people are. But if we undermine this institution's ability to do what our founders asked us to do, then history will record forever our short-sightedness. And so, Mr. President, I regret, in a sense, having to engage in this, but I was stunned to learn that in addition to this 30 hours of circusry going on here, and three votes that will occur on Friday, that there is even going to be a serious vote on whether or not this institution should give up its right to be able to have extended debate on judicial nominations. This institution and its history deserves more. The fact that the Senator from Michigan and I have to arise at 10 o'clock at night to argue about something as fundamental as a rule change in the United States Senate, and to be asked to vote on it with 5 minutes maybe of deliberation before that ballot is cast on Friday, is incredible to this member. It is incredible that we would do this. Doesn't anyone care about being here? We're only temporary stewards, you know. You and I are just guaranteed a short amount of time to be a part of this institution. We don't own this. We bear an historical responsibility to those who came before, but an even greater one to those who come afterwards, to see to it that we maintain the order and the ideals embodied in the creation of this institution, and that we would relegate a fundamental change in the rules of the United States Senate to a debate occurring between 10 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 a.m. in the morning, with a vote to be cast on Friday without further deliberation, I find stunning. Stunning in its dimension. This is a matter that deserves far more deliberation and thought, whatever your views may be on this issue. And to find ourselves here with all of these other issues that are in front of us, to have to defend the United States Senate in the wee hours of the morning about a rule that has sustained us as an institution, is something that I regret deeply, Mr. President. And so I would hope that that my colleagues, whatever else their passions may be about Miguel Estrada, or Priscilla Owen, William Pryor, Charles Pickering, I don't know these individuals. I presume they're good people. I presume they're good people, whatever differences we may have. As I'm sure there have been people who have been nominated in previous administrations who are also good people, who were rejected because the majority today disagreed with them. I'm sorry that happens to people. But unfortunately, that's one of the victims of a process such as we have, as imperfect as it is. But to the idea that our passions are so wrapped up in these individuals that we're willing to squander the rules of the United States Senate, knowing full well that it may only be in a short period of time, the roles would be reversed. That this party in the minority would be the party of the majority, that the president is of the other party, nominating people that I presume a minority may have serious difficulties with. And that we may be angry over the fact they're being rejected, but I would hope we would never suggest that we ought to change the rules of the Senate because we're disappointed that certain individuals, whatever else they may have made in contributions to their lives and communities, are so deserving that they warrant changing the rules of the United States Senate because they're not getting the position they seek. I hope we've not come to that. I hope we've not come to that. Mr. President, I yield.
Mr. President.